I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. We thank God for giving us a good trip back to Singapore. There were a few things that we wanted to do, and one of which was to meet with our loved ones and to share the gospel with them. We had opportunities to do so, but I regret to say that the response to the gospel was not very good. I caught up with two of my brothers, spoke to them. One was very fearful, and he didn't dare to respond well to the gospel. And the other one didn't even want to hear. The moment I opened my mouth to talk about the gospel, he simply walked away. I told him, "Dear brother, sit down." He refused to sit down. He walked away. Pray for them, but nothing is impossible. We believe that if we continue to pray, the Lord will surely open a way for them to come to believe in Him. And then we also were very minded to give the gospel to the ailing uncle of my wife. He is suffering from cancer, a very, very serious condition. He had his whole stomach removed. And it was virtually impossible to see him because of the scare of the swine flu in Singapore. The admission to the hospital for visitation was very, very strict. And our names were not on the list of visitors. You know, every sick person has to give a list of those people who are allowed to visit them. And our names were not on the list. So what did we do? We prayed. We prayed that the Lord will make a way for us to see this ailing uncle of Maybelline's. We prayed, and the Lord opened a way. Very miraculously, we were at a counter. The lady checked through the whole list. Our names were not there. Called the ward, talked to the sister. The sister said, "Sorry, you have to show proof that you are leaving the country." Of course, we didn't bring our passport. We didn't bring our plane tickets. So what were we to do? Then there was this security guard, the Cisco guard, who said, "Don't worry, I bear the responsibility. I bring you to the ward." And we were able to see the ailing uncle of Maybelline. We tried to share the gospel with him, but of course he was very fearful to come to hear, fearful of hearing the gospel. He knew the gospel, but not willing to respond. Do pray the Lord will speak to his heart. And then of course we were able to catch up with some other people, met with senior pastor, and then we had fellowship with Mrs. Mary Tan and our sister Doris. What a wonderful fellowship we had with them. They were busily and happily preparing for the wedding of the Tan sister's cousin. Yes, and we saw the beautiful cake that was made by Mrs. Tan. It was really professionally done. They were very excited, very happy, and we were very happy for them also. Now this morning the message is, send out thy light and thy truth. I'm talking about depression this morning and how to get out of depression. Send out thy light and thy truth. Psalms 42 and 43. Now these two psalms were probably one, and they were written and dedicated to the Maskil. Now the Maskil was not the name of a person, but it was possibly an official position. The Maskil was the chief musician, or the choir master if you like. And these two songs were written for the sons of Korah. Now the sons of Korah were the descendants of Levi. And they were a family of musicians, a family of singers. And apparently they passed their office of being singers in the temple from one generation to another generation. And the psalm, as we said, was the two psalms, as we said, were dedicated to the chief musician, to the Maskil, to the choir master. Now, there is this form of music called the blues. Have you heard of the blues? Yes. Those of you who love jazz music will surely know what the blues is. Now the blues, when we think of the blues, we would think that the blues was possibly invented by the blacks in America, right? And then the music is rather mournful, woeful, and quite depressing to listen to. And it is always composed, almost always composed in the minor key. Now, but here we have a blues also. In Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, a blues. But this blues that we find in these two psalms is quite different from the modern blues that we know of. You see, this blues that is written here in these two psalms ends with a very, very positive note. It ends with hope and confidence in the one true living God. Very much unlike the kind of blues that we hear today. People who sing them, people who listen to them, might just continue to be depressed and continue to be hopeless. And you see this blues ends, or this psalm ends with these two verses. Psalm 43, verses 3 and 4. Look at these two verses, please. I read for you. Psalm 43, verses 3 and 4. O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto my God, my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. You see, it ends with hope and it ends with confidence in the one true living God. Now, in the Psalms, we also find this thing called a refrain. A refrain is a phrase or a chorus that is repeated. And it is repeted in this psalm. I don't know whether you can spot it or not, but look at Psalm 42 and look at verse 5. It is a refrain. The refrain is repeated two times. All right, verse 5. Why art 42 verse 5? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. See, an expression of hope and of confidence. And then you look at verse 11 in the same psalm. You see, it's repeated, right? It's a refrain. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And you'll find that it is repeated again, this time at the end of Psalm 43, verse 5. So, can you see the refrain? Repeated two times, alright? In other words, it was said three times. My question is, was the psalmist depressed? I think he was. Yes, he was. Do we not feel depressed sometimes? We do. As believers, we do feel depressed. We are human beings. We do feel depressed sometimes. I suppose most mornings when we wake up, we will say, "Good morning, Lord." Maybe we don't say those words, but we feel that way. "Good morning, Lord." But there are just some mornings on which we don't feel like getting out of bed. Isn't that very true? Because we know that it's going to be a long day for us, a hard day ahead of us. It's going to be a terrible day for us. And you know what we will say? "Good Lord, this morning." But friends, let's not say that, "Good Lord, this morning," because we are actually taking the name of the Lord in vain. Did you realize that? Yes, because we are using his name to express a complaint, to express an unhappiness in us. "Good Lord, it's morning." So let's avoid using the name of the Lord in vain. But do godly people suffer from depression? The answer is yes. Now you take the case of the great prophet Elijah, greater than most men. And that was true. "My depression is such as few can have an idea of." And he said, "This week has been in some respects the crowning week of my life." In other words, a great week. "But it closed with a horror of darkness, of which I will say no more than this. I bless God that at my worst, underneath me, I found the everlasting arms." So you see, great men also suffer from depression. I'm talking about great men of God. Now, it was very, very probable that David wrote this beautiful psalm or these beautiful psalms. And it was probable that he wrote it when he was driven into exile by his son Absalom, who wanted to kill him and who wanted to usurp his throne. So, I mean, if you have a son like that who wants to kill you, friends, would you not feel depressed? Of course you will feel very, very depressed. And then he felt very depressed also because he was deprived of the privilege of going into the house of the Lord to worship him. He was not in Jerusalem. He was somewhere else. So he could not go into the house of the Lord to worship him. And so he says in Psalm 42 verse 4, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude." You see, in the past tense. In the past, I had gone with the multitude, with a great number of people. I went with them to the house of the Lord, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. But today, I'm not enjoying this privilege. In time past, yes, I did enjoy that privilege, but not today. And as he thought of that, of course, he would feel somewhat depressed. Now, what would people do when they are depressed? I think the first thing that they do is to pop in some antidepressant pills, right? Quite normal. And then if they can afford it, of course, they will see a psychiatrist. But here the psalmist teaches us what to do and how to get out of depression. And what he does is he traces three stages for us. And then at the end of each of the stage, he says this, "Hope thou in God." Remember the refrain that we read earlier on? "Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance." He was very hopeful. He was very confident in the one true living God at the end of each of the stages. Now I'd like to cover the three stages this morning. First of all, stage number one. Read with me verses 1 and 2. Let's read together of Psalm 42. "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Now, here is a very, very beautiful picture of the psalmist longing for the one true living God. He pictures himself as a hart. A hart is a wild deer. He pictures himself as a hart being chased by its predator. So it was a prey, and it was running and running and running, and it has become absolutely thirsty. It pants for the water brooks. It's dying of thirst. My friends, that was how the psalmist thirsted for the one true living God. He wanted to appear before God. He says so. All right, you will read verse 2. When shall I come and appear before God? When? There appeared to be a delay in his appearance before the one true living God. God seemed to be delaying in his answer to the prayer of David. Now, when we are in trouble and when we pray, and when God answers our prayer, of course, joy is restored to us very, very quickly because God has answered our prayers. But sometimes, don't we feel that God is sort of holding back? He is delaying his answer to our prayers. My dear friends, let us not give up praying during those times. During those times, all the more we need to pray. Yes, those are the times when the Lord is trying and testing our faith. Remember that. Let's continue to pray. Don't give up. And then he says in verses 3 and 4, "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day." David's problems, humanly speaking, were insurmountable, driven by his son Absalom into exile. He couldn't sleep. He cried day and night. He said, My tears have been my meat day and night. He cried day and night. Now, what a bad situation you would be in if you had to cry during the daytime. At night time, you can't sleep. You continue to cry. And day and night, your tears are your food. You can't eat. Your tears are your food. And in another psalm, David said he literally swam in his tears in his bed. And then his problem was further compounded by discouragement that came from his enemies. You know what his enemies said to him? Where is your God? Your God is not helping you. Your God is not faithful to you. Your God is weak. Your God can't do anything for you. And surely Satan can be taunting us. Satan is our number one enemy. He can be taunting us when we are down, when we are discouraged, when we are feeling depressed. He might just say to us, "Where's your God? Your God is not doing anything for you. He's powerless. He doesn't love you. He's not faithful to you. Come on, give up. Give up. Don't continue to believe in God. Give up." David, of course, didn't give up. Look at the step he took. He says in verse 4, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day." David remembered the joyous time. Although, you know, he felt depressed when he thought of the fact that he could no longer go into the house of God to worship him. But he remembered the joyous times when he went into the house of God with the multitude to celebrate and to sing praises unto God. Now notice this, very important. David didn't think of the bad things. He didn't think very much of the bad times, but he thought of the blessed events that took place in his life. And that is what we must be doing. In times of depression, when you're feeling low, let's think of the good times, the times that the Lord was with us, the times when He blessed us, when He answered our prayers, and He did things that were very, very marvelous in our eyes. Remember those things. Now, if we remember those things, we realize that our God actually is very, very good to us. Good to us in time past, surely He will be good to us right now, in the present. He will surely help us as He helped us in time past. But friends, if you are depressed and if you keep remembering the sad and depressing events of time past, I think you are going to become even more depressed. And that's true. And some people like to do that. They like to think of the times when they failed their exams. Or the time when they fractured their arm. Or the time when the house was burgled. Or the time when they met with an accident. Or they like to say things like that. "Oh, we should have done this instead of that." My dear friends, we shouldn't be saying that. I'm very, very thankful that I got to know this man of God, Reverend Dan Ebert. And he gave me a very, very good piece of advice. Reverend Dan Ebert was a great missionary to the Philippines. And he gave me this very, very good piece of advice. He said this to me. He said, "One of the most depressing things in life to say is this: we should have done this instead of that." He said, don't ever say things like that. You feel very, very depressed. And it's true. You know, no point saying things like that, because we cannot turn the clock backward to time past and then try to redo the thing. We can't. All the things that happened in time past are just water under the bridge. We can't do anything. But for the present, we can do something. Now, if we had sinned in the past, no point regretting over those sins. Of course we should feel sad about those things, but friends, let us turn away from our sins. Let us repent from our sins. Let us come before the foot of the cross, and then ask the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse us of all our sins and repent from our sins. And all if we made a terrible mistake, a foolish mistake, let's say in our investment, no point crying over spilled milk. But rather we should come before the Lord and pray unto the Lord and ask the Lord to give us wisdom so that we may be able to manage our affairs more wisely in the future, rather than crying over spilt milk and say, "Oh, we should have done this instead of that. Things would have been better." No, you can't turn the clock backwards. Let's remember that. Now David's thoughts ran back to those happy events that took place in his life. He thought of the happy times, the times he went with the multitude into the house of the Lord to worship the Lord, to rejoice in the house of the Lord, to celebrate in the house of the Lord. Now, it is very, very important when we feel low to think of the great things that the Lord did for us in time past. Would you do that? My dear friends, we must be doing that. Remember them and thank the Lord for them. And then dwell on those joys that He gave us in time past, so that they will be an encouragement for us in the present. there was this servant of the Lord by the name of Ed Murphy. He came from a very, very staunch Roman Catholic family in New England, in America. He never met a Protestant until he was 14 years old. And up to the time, when he thought of a Protestant, he would think of one who had horns growing out of his head. In other words, every Protestant was a demon to him, a devil to him. And then he went to a lumber camp, and at this lumber camp, he met a Christian young man, and they shared the same cabin. This Christian young man gave him the gospel and gave him a New Testament to read. He read the New Testament, and he was converted. And later on, this former Roman Catholic heard the call of God to serve the Lord full time. He brought the news to his home, to his family, and told his mother that he was going to enroll into Bible college. The mother was, of course, furious. She said to him, "If you ever go to the Bible college, I'll see to it that you never come back to this house. You're not going to set foot in this home again." But Ed left. He heard the call of God and enrolled in the Bible school. He found a part-time job to fund his theological studies. But near the end of the first year, when he was due to pay his school fees, he was short of $60. And he must pay the school fees, because if he didn't pay the school fees, he could not sit for his exams and he might have to leave the Bible college. So what was he to do? He prayed, brought this matter to the Lord, but nothing seemed to happen. Then he thought of one very, very desperate thing, and that was to ask the mother for help. So he wrote a letter to the mother and said, "Mother, I need this $60. Please help me. When I get this money, I'll surely repay you." The mother replied, "Son, when you left home, did I not tell you that if you ever enroll in the Bible school, you should never set foot in this house again? But listen, son, I'm going to Los Angeles next weekend. And if your God cannot help you..." Where is your God now? Your God cannot help you. "If your God is not going to help you, then you come home with me." And then Ed went to pray and asked the Lord for help, but there was no help. Then on the morning when he was about to sit for his exams, he walked through the door of his room, went out into the hallway. The dean of the school met him. He said to him, "Ed, how much did I say you owe the school?" Ed said, $60. But Ed said, "This morning while I was walking down the hallway, I saw a slip. And on this slip, it showed that you have a credit of $40 in your account. Somebody had anonymously put in $100 in the account. You have now $40 extra. $60 have gone to pay for your school fees." I said, no, it cannot be. It must be a mistake." The dean said, no mistake. There was no mistake. Ed was so filled with thanksgiving, he went on to his knees to thank the Lord, sat for his exams, and then he went to LA to meet with his mother. His mother said, "So, you're coming home with me?" "No, Mom. God has supplied all my needs. He has given me $60 to pay for my school fees and given me $40 extra." Mom kept quiet, rose up, walked to the door, and went home. 2 weeks later, Ed received this wonderful letter from Mommy. "Ed, I want to know your kind of God." Yes. And Ed said that as of that day, every time he was tried, he would think of this wonderful event that took place in his life, how God had supplied for all his needs, and then also caused his mother to come to believe in him as a result of that apparently difficult event that he had in his life. And that was what David did. He remembered the great time when the Lord was with him, when the Lord blessed him. And that is exactly what we must do, my dear friends. When we are depressed, going through depression, let us have the discipline to remember the great times when the Lord answered our prayers, how good he was to us. And as he was good in time past, surely today he will be good to us. And that is what we must do. But David's trial was not over yet. His remembrance of those happy incidents in which he tasted of God's goodness didn't seem to work this time. And so he did something else. He went on to stage 2. All right, look at stage 2, verses 6 to 8. I read for you the three verses. "Oh my God, My soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts or waterfalls, if you like. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Verse 8. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. In the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Now in stage 2, what did David remember? Look at verse 8 again. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. He remembered the loving kindness of God. He remembered that this God was one whose love was never failing. Yes, and he knew that this God would never leave him nor forsake him. David recalled the time when he was on the hill of Mizar. Now, Mizar was very, very near to Mount Hermon. And Mount Hermon is where the source of the River Jordan is. And the River Jordan flows from the north to the south into the Dead Sea. And he remembered the times when he was on the hill of Mizar. And when he was on the hill of Mizar, he heard the sounds of waterfalls, he heard the sounds of the cataract, and he heard the sounds of the cascading waterfalls. And the waterfalls seemed to be communicating with one another, talking to one another. Deep calleth unto deep at thy waterspouts. Indeed, things of nature seem to be communicating one with another. For example, the moon's orbiting around the earth very silently seems to be speaking to the seas to cause the tides to rise and to fall. And then the sun and the rain speaking silently to the seeds of plants will cause the seeds to germinate and to grow. And then in nature, we have these calls from long distance that call animals and birds and the fishes in the sea to do that seasonal migration. Now as the psalmist think of these wonderful things, deep calling unto deep, waterfalls calling unto waterfalls, he thinks of God's calling to man. It is as if God is speaking, or was speaking from the depth of his heart to the depth of David's heart. The depth of God's heart speaking to the depth of David's heart. Deep calleth unto deep. And what was the message? My dear friends, the message was a message of love. A message of loving kindness. David, I will not leave you nor forsake thee. And so he writes in verse 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. From the depth of God's heart, God commanded his loving kindness to be bestowed upon David. And from the depth of his heart, he gave his song of joy to David. And from the depth of his heart, he also called David to pray. Yes, he said to David, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. From the depth of his heart, God was calling David to pray, to continue to pray and not to stop praying. Now in moments of trials in our lives, when we are very, very downhearted, we can pray from the depths of our heart. But sometimes, nothing seems to happen. We might not feel anything, but friends, not feel anything, but we can continue to feel downhearted and continue to feel depressed. But let's not forget this truth. And the truth is this: God loves us. His love is unfailing. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And from the depth of his heart, he continues to command his loving kindness and his joy to be bestowed upon us. So, friends, as we said earlier on, let us never give up praying. Whatever feelings we might have, they do not change the fact that God is the prayer-answering God. He is able, he is faithful to answer our prayers, just as he is able and faithful to command the moon to orbit around the sun, orbit around the earth, and causing the tides to rise and to fall. Yes, he faithfully does that. And likewise, my dear friends, he faithfully will answer our prayers. Now, are David's problems resolved yet? No. He is he was as depressed as ever. Look at verses 9 and 10. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Verse 9 says that David felt as if he was forgotten by God. It's a very, very terrible feeling to feel that we have been forgotten. Take for example, if for years in the office people around you have been growing in their jobs, they have been promoted from one level to another level, but you have been left behind in spite of the fact that you have been working very, very hard. Would you not feel discouraged and demoralized? I think you would. Very discouraged, very demoralized, because you feel that you have been placed in one corner, that you have been forgotten by the company. And then think of your child. You left your child maybe in the play center, and then you went shopping. You were so caught up with your shopping that you forgot about your child in the play center. You were supposed to collect the child, but you forgot about it, and you were 1 hour late. And by the time you got to the play center, you find your child weeping. Would you be surprised that your child would be weeping when you go and collect him? Of course not, because you were late by an hour, and your child might be too young to express himself. But if he is able to express himself, do you not think he will say something like this? Mom, you forgot me. I thought that you were not coming to get me. How frightening, how miserable it will be for a child to feel that he has been forgotten by his parents. Do you not feel helpless, hopeless? If you feel like how the psalmist felt that he was forgotten by God. Look at verse 9. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And what is worse is that the psalmist was being taunted by his enemies. Verse 10, as with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Where is your God? As we said, Satan is our enemy number one. When we are down, depressed, what he wants for us to do is to give up the faith. He will try his very, very best to discourage us. Now in the case of Job, it was worse for him. Remember, Job was very, very severely afflicted. He lost all his possessions, lost all his children, lost his health. And then his wife came to him and said to him, what? Curse God and die. What's the use, Job? You have been very faithful to your God. But has your God been faithful to you? Your God is not able. Your God does not love you. Curse him. Curse him and die. Yes? And surely she was being made use of by Satan to utter those terrible words. But David was not one who was going to give up trusting in his God. His hope was in God. Look at verse 11, one of the refrains. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. But did he find solution to his problem yet? No, my dear friends, he was still depressed. Go on to Psalm 43 and verses 1 and 2. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust men, for thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? David's problems are problems that we might encounter in our life. He was deceived by ungodly and deceitful people. Yes, ungodly and unjust men. He was betrayed by people whom he loved. Betrayed, in this case, by his son, Absalom, who wanted to kill him and wanted to usurp his throne. David had reached a point where he was completely, desperately in need of help. And so verse 2 he says, for thou art the God of my strength. Why? Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? So where was David's help and what was David's help? And that was the next stage that he was going into. Verses 3 and 4. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Verse 4. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto my God, my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. God, in fact, was driving him to his ultimate help. And what was David's help? David's ultimate was God's truth, God's word. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. That was his ultimate help, his ultimate refuge. And then he also prayed for light. Oh, send out thy light. In other words, he prayed for understanding of the truth. David prayed for understanding of the truth and the knowledge of the truth. Yes, and that was where he found help in. And that is where we will find help in also. God's word is our refuge. Now, I told you this story, I think, quite a number of times before, but I need to tell you this story again, because it really will encourage us very, very much when we get into depression. Now, it is about this colleague of mine who was promoted into a job which he could not manage. Yes, not that he was a stupid guy, he was a smart guy actually, but promoted into a job that he could not take. And then he suffered a terrible nervous breakdown. And then one night, from the height of his high-rise flat, he actually wanted to jump down. But because he was a believer, he restrained himself. He was so depressed. Yes. And then our company had no choice but to demote him back to his former job. And we kept him for 2 years. He didn't recover. His face was very, very stony. Many people tried to help him. I tried to counsel him, but to no avail. So we had to separate him from the company. But then he sought spiritual help. He went to see our late, very senior pastor, Reverend Timothy Toh. And the late Reverend Toh very, very wisely told him to go back to the Word of God. Your refuge is in the Word of God. Read the Psalms, he told his brother. So this brother went back, read the Psalms, 150 of them, from Psalm 1 to Psalm 150. When he finished, he read again Psalm 1 to 150, he read many times. One day he discovered that he was well. And so what did he do? He went to see Reverend Timothy Toh and did exactly what the psalmist did here. Verse 4. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Here upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. He gave his testimony to the church of God's wonderful goodness to him in healing him. Now that was not the end of the story. The story had a very, very great and wonderful ending. Our company heard that this brother had recovered. And so what we decided to do was to take him back to the company. We offered him a job, and he came back. And then we sent him on a foreign assignment, a tough one, more difficult than his previous job. And he took the assignment, he went. And you know what? In one of the years, he was the star performer in our foreign service. He did very, very well. He was one of our star managers for 1 year. So friends, where is our friend, our help, when we are depressed? God's word. We must pray like the psalmist. Oh God, send out thy light and thy truth. Give me understanding of your truth. Lord, we need your truth, and we need to understand your truth. And indeed, when we know God's truth and understand God's truth, have light in understanding God's truth, we will have healing. I'd like us to turn to Psalm 107, verses 19 and 20. Psalm 107, verses 19 and 20. Psalm 107, 19 and 20. I read for you. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. Now look at verse 20. What did God do? He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent his word. So what should we do when we are depressed? Seek medical help right away? Of course, we may need to go for medical help. But friends, the first thing that we need to do is do like what the psalmist did. Go back into our lives and remember the happy events which tell us very, very clearly about God's goodness, about God's faithfulness. As He was faithful in time past, as He was good to us in time past, today He's going to be good to us, He's going to be faithful to us. And in the future, He's going to be good to us, in the future He's going to be faithful to us. Remember His kindness. Remember His graciousness. Remember the how He did wonderfully in our lives. And then we'll be very, very encouraged. And let us also remember that this God of ours loves us out of the depth of His heart. Yes, how can we say that He not love us? When He sent His only begotten Son, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered us, delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? My dear friends, He loves us, and He will surely give us all things. And His desire is to give us His joy. Hope in Him, my dear friends, and from the depth of His heart, He will show us His love, He will show us His joy. And finally, let us never forget to pray. What should we pray? Like the psalmist, we must pray this prayer. O Lord, send out Thy light and Thy truth. The light here indicates understanding. Give us understanding of the truth. And let us pray and let us go to His word. And when we know His truth and we have understanding of His truth, my dear friends, like the psalmist, we will be lifted up out of our gloom. And like the psalmist, we will be able to say, as in verses 4 and 5 of Psalm 43, then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise Thee, O God, my God. Why art Thou cast down, O my soul? And why art Thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. But friends, you must know the truth. His word is truth. If you want to be healed of your depression, of your gloom, you must know the truth. You must know His word. And not only must you know this truth, you must know the Lord Jesus Christ, who is truth itself. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You must know Him as your Lord and Savior. Now, if you do not know Him as your Lord and Savior, when you pray unto Him, He's not going to answer your prayers. So first of all, we must know this truth. Come and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, so that when you pray, yes, He's there for you. He's there to answer your prayer. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the beautiful words of these two psalms. Father, we know that there is help in You, in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank You, O Lord God, that there is a solution to the depressions that we might suffer in our life. And O Lord, the solution is for us to come to You always, to pray unto You, to send out Your light and Your truth. O Lord, we pray that we may have understanding of Your truth and that we may be willing to apply Your truth to our lives when we have understood it. O Lord, we pray for those who are still outside Your kingdom. We pray that You speak to their hearts, cause them to come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, so that when they need His help, that help is available. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.